Right now, we are joined in the studio to get us started by Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Heminger. And insofar as it is the 4th of May, Mayor, may the 4th be with you.
May the 4th be with you, too.
How are you?
I am good. It's also the National Day of Prayer.
National Day of Prayer,
I attended
yes.
a lovely gathering on UNC campus. We're the only community that actually holds a student-led National Day of Prayer on campus at the flagpole. It was very well attended, and a lot of prayers for governing with kindness in your heart and embracing diversity and trying to hope that we can encourage state legislators to see the bigger picture and embrace everyone and everyone's right to be
actual
here.
Christian values would be,
I'd say, just humanity
quite
values.
Quite nice, yes.
Just humanity, you know, Christian humanity, all kinds of values. It's just really, really hard. Every time I read something that comes out, I'm on all these listservs for all these different advocacy groups. You just want to say, if everyone should be praying to whoever they pray to bring that positive energy to make a change. I will say, I was encouraged by a federal judge in California from San Francisco area. They filed an injunction against President Trump's executive order withholding funding for communities and cities that practice sanctuary cities, which has never been defined, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And so the injunction to not allow the federal government to withhold funding, especially for things that don't pertain anyway into law enforcement or those kinds of things. So that gives me hope. Maybe we'll be governing from the court system at this point.
Well, that's really important. That, and I was talking yesterday about this because I teach American government at Durham Tech, and this is actually the subject that came up in that class yesterday. It was our last day of class before the final, so I'm sort of running through and wrapping up all of the final points. And we actually used the Protect Free Speech on Campus bill that the General Assembly is currently debating as an example of this. But you mentioned it with sanctuary cities. You've got this policy on the books in North Carolina banning sanctuary cities, and now you've got this executive order, but the phrase sanctuary cities is completely undefined.
Correct.
So it's a legislative policy that might look perfectly fine on paper, but it's entirely, you know, if you want to even,
no,
if you
want,
even
look,
if you even want to make that argument,
on paper, no.
But it's all up to the interpretation. It's
yes.
all up to how loosely or broadly you define sanctuary cities. So even if you want to make a case for the policy as it's written down, it's all up to the government, the state government or the federal government to interpret it how they want. So if you've got a community like Chapel Hill, or actually better yet, a community like Winston-Salem,
yes.
who dares to introduce a policy that suggests that they're a welcoming community, that gets interpreted as, well, if you're a welcoming community, then clearly you're at odds with the state government, which
right.
may well be true. And then they have their funding threatened or taken
so
away.
So I also just don't know that there's any data to show that we've had huge outbursts of issues with people who are here as refugees.
And in fact, there is a lot of data to suggest that we haven't.
Correct.
It's exactly the opposite.
And we in Chapel Hill believe that better communications with our different residents that are here for many different reasons and being more open and having faith IDs and having promotes better dialogue and actually improves safety and improves concerns. You know who people are, you interact together, they feel enabled and safe to come and report crimes or activities that are going on instead of hiding and being behind the scenes and under the radar.
Yep.
So I don't get this whole philosophy overall. We are a welcoming community. We always have been a welcoming community. We want to work with people. We want to have that trust between groups. So it's really difficult. That being said, we comply with what North Carolina has asked us to comply with. So I don't understand this energy that's coming from Raleigh to say otherwise, and they want to withhold all kinds of funding.
Yeah.
And it's a terrifying time right now for budgeting for community service. And we're trying to figure that out, both from a federal level and from a state level. The state is now threatening to do sales tax redistribution, which would affect us greatly. Luckily, our larger neighbors to the east of us in Durham and Raleigh are also hugely affected, and they're out there really helping push this matter to say, hey, wait a minute, that's a huge swing as we're trying to do our budgets right now.
Mm-hmm.
Federal government is not going to give us any answers till October, sounds like, as far as our CDBG monies and other things that are coming along pike. How do you plan plan to take care of the community that you already have in place. We're not talking expansive new programs that we're just not going to do next year. We're talking the normal operating procedures of running our public housing, of repairing our streets, of doing normal everyday business. Mm-hmm. These are huge shockers and huge swings. So luckily there's groups that are band together. And I'll tell you, a big shout out to Moms Demand Action. They go in their orange t-shirts, they advocate, they stand up, they get the attention. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for putting yourself out there. Thank you for showing up. More citizens, go. Write. Do what you can. We are all there trying to do as elected officials the same, but whenever I go as the mayor or something, it puts a big target on the town.
Right.
You go as citizens, they don't know where you're from. So it's no target going on. So I really, really encourage people to get out there, get active. We have people call every week in our office saying, how do I get involved? What do we need to do? Where can I? So join up with your political party, whichever one that is. There's a group called Neighbors on Call. There's Moms Demand Action. There's lots of groups getting organized to help make sure that we vote differently.
Yeah, and they work, too. Yes. I mean, as frustrating as it is to be a progressive in North Carolina today and see the federal government doing what they're doing and the state government doing what they're doing, you fight back against 10 policies and the state government might go ahead and enact the policy 9 times out of 10. But that 10th time, they might have done something that they get this outcry. They get people massing on the streets in Raleigh. They get phone calls after phone calls after phone calls and blocking the voicemail and the phone ringing off the hook and hundreds of emails. That sways legislators.
Yes.
It doesn't do it all the time. It doesn't even necessarily do it most of the time, but it does do it some of the time, and that matters.
And also to the governor. We are very fortunate we have a governor who believes in better democracy and hopeful that he can help, but there's still a supermajority and we need better balance and we need better representation. So I encourage everyone to get out there. But it's something we're keeping our eye on. We are having a special work session this Saturday. It's called High Beam Look, and it's to think about our future and to talk about what issues are out there. It's sort of a mini retreat to build on what we had before, to talk about where we're going and what we think the trends are right now and what we think the long-term ideas that are out there that we need to be thinking about, like driverless cars. Like, actually, they even announced again about the flying cars in California, and I'm like, okay.
You do know that we're keeping a running count of the number of times you mentioned driverless cars on the air,
right? You
know,
I get so many emails about this from so many larger groups talking about setting policy and figuring this out before it's just upon us. Mm-hmm. And I'm fascinated by it because it's not something we had to think about before. And you need to think about those ideas. Nobody really predicted cell phones and the way they changed our lives and the way they're integral to our lives now. I'm saying technology is moving at a geometric pace, and so it's becoming faster and more involved. I mean, I have an Alexa at home, and it's fascinating to hear. She'll just turn on sometimes, and a little creepy. Tell us something.
So one of the reasons I don't have an Alexa at home. But
it's one of those things where it's great, and yet you need to know better about how to handle it and to deal with it.
So. And we're planning for 20 years and 30 years. And we had this debate with light rail. Like, we don't right this second need a light rail system, but 20 years, 30 years down the road, our population is going to be twice what it is now. We might need it, so we have to plan for it now. And it's the same thing with any kind of technology or transportation technology or communication. We've got to plan now for 30 years.
You should always plan for the future. Yeah. So this is to get together and talk about strategy, talk about what kinds of things we need to keep our downtown vibrant, but our whole community vibrant, and how do we build upon that. So I'm looking forward to that. It's going to be a great strategic planning session. And then we have our budget presentation on Monday at the council meeting, and then a couple of small resolutions, one in favor of supporting what the Center for Civil Rights asked us to be able to allow them to continue to use their resources to help defend people. So we're definitely behind that. And then there'll be a proposal, too, for the Botanical Gardens request for an entryway into the park of purchasing some land. So we'll be taking a look at that as well.
Cool. Speaking with Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Heminger, that meeting coming up on Monday. There was a session, what was it, yesterday, on the future of 100 West Rosemary Street, the public input session. Any particular feedback from that we know of?
Yeah, I was fascinated by people who came out to advocate for the arts. And, you know, we need more places to... We have the largest per capita of artists in the state right here in Orange County. And we need to do more. We need to think bigger. We need to know how it can tie in, if there's a possibility to tie it in with the old town hall, which has a lot of history history behind it too. So I loved the idea that people, and I had met just yesterday with the Orange County Arts Director, Katie Murray, and talking about how we pull everybody together, quit working in these silos, and talk about how we do art and how we do it better, and where, and performing arts, visual arts, a spoken art, all kinds of things that we need. This community has the talent. We need the space to do it. And we passed the bond for cultural arts here in Chapel Hill. And we've been trying to think strategically what that looks like. That's why we have the task force going on town assets. That's why it's part of the conversation for the American Legion task force. And that's why we're thinking about in parcels downtown, what that looks like and how to make it all come together so that we can not only be that arts destination, but have the art that we all enjoy here. Mm. And we have so much talent to take to use in that way.
I think 100 West Rosemary has really flown under the radar, and I don't think as many people are talking about it as they've talked about like Ephesus Fordham or Light Rail or one of those big things. But you think about 100 West Rosemary, that's right in the center of downtown. Mm-hmm. It's on Rosemary Street, which the town has been concerned about revitalizing, and let's have a personality for Rosemary Street right. that it didn't have before. And also, it's a central location in the community.
It's very visible.
It's very visible. So what we do with 100 West Rosemary, like there are a lot of different options, but the choice that we make on what to do has a big impact on what that center of downtown ends up looking like and feeling like and the vibe that exists there. So it's an important topic.
So it's also fun just to be on Rosemary Street these days now that we finished our sidewalk project. I know the hotel's still under construction, mm-hmm. but walking down Rosemary Street night and day feels so much better and different and more vibrant. We're looking for more development when it comes along, following the guidelines, keeping it activated, not making it the parking lot for Franklin Street. We don't want to be a one street town. We want to be more than that. And there's many opportunities for all kinds of interesting proposals. One of the interesting things that came out of the talking about the Old Town Hall, besides the wonderful history behind the Old Town Hall of being the fire station where maybe we might open, it was the outside of the building. It doesn't look very welcoming. So whatever we do, we should consider something that makes the building look more welcoming. And it used to have two fire bays right there that are all bricked in. The front door used to be on that side. We had our prison in there. We had our administrative offices in there. We had the police station in there. So the building has a lot of opportunities, but it's been and fallen into disrepair. Mm-hmm. The community kitchen is a wonderful activity going on there, but at some point in time, we're going to have to replace the roof and the HVAC. And we wanted to know, sort of feasibility-wise, was there an opportunity to move the visitor center and or the Chapel Hill Museum to this space? Does that make sense? Before we dive into the details, mm-hmm. does it make sense? Is this something that's possible? That's what this task force was assigned. It was a very short task force to just see if it was a possibility. And they'll be coming back to us in June with that information.
This is also that rare old building in Chapel Hill that we don't necessarily know what to do with. We've been jealous of Durham for having all of this available space that they can just convert into cool stuff. We've got this now that we can do that too.
Yeah, it's about 10,000 square feet maybe.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. It's three floors. So it'll be interesting to see what they come back with as far as they've done a great job of going on field trips and collecting other information and talking to different groups and looking at how different visitor centers work. It is an opportunity. It is highly visible. Visitors who come to our community do have a difficult time sometimes finding our current visitor center. And Lori Pallicelli talked about the parking questions they get all the time and the questions about our town they get all the time. Fascinating. You know, what was Rosemary Street named for? Why was it Franklin Street? What are the stone walls about? So those kinds of things, you know, it's kind of interesting to see how outsiders view your community from a visual perspective.
Yeah.
So that was fascinating too. So overall, a lot of input just about the building itself, ideas, and that they would somehow love to connect it to art or incorporate art as part of this. So I thought those were great.
Awesome. Speaking again with Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Heminger, I know, have we even started on
the list
that you've got there?
Well, the big thing, we spent a long time yesterday. We're getting geared back up for food for the summer.
Right.
Very excited about this. We hired a new director. Her name is Emma. She started yesterday, bless her heart. didn't run out of the room screaming. It's still a fabulous...
She knows summer's like a month away,
yes,
right?
It's still a fabulous collaborative meeting. I'm going to speak to the school board again tonight about this.
Awesome.
We'll get the sign-up sheets out there. The website will be launched hopefully next week for people to start. So I'll be actually out there trying to solicit people to go to our website and sign up for a shift. Again, we have another 11-week summer. We've got some more enriched enrichment pieces to add into this and a way to expand to reach more kids. There are kids living in these complexes where we're going that we're not getting out the door, so we're figuring out ways to do that. And we're looking for partners. We have to raise more money this year to help pay for some more expenses, so we're looking for site sponsors and fun bucket sponsors. And if you just want to make a donation to help out, please go to the website and do this. These are our kids. And there's other countries interested, not just in our program, but in summer programs overall for feeding kids that consider hunger to be a public health issue, not just a kid's
Which
learning.
It is, yeah.
It really is. And we have the food. It's just a distribution issue. And so figuring out how to make all that work and connect the dots. But as I said earlier, I love the other aspect of it, of people touching, all those touches together. People in the community who don't know that this problem exists, people in the community who are really struggling, who don't know the community cares about them. These connections, these touches are what make us a very wonderful community to be.
Absolutely. So, yeah. What else is going on?
So a lot of
I'm
events.
Asking because I'm looking over your shoulder at your sheet and you're like,
on this weekend,
part
I'm laughing because
one.
We have a lot going on. There's a lot of organizations throw their galas. The Triangle Land Conservancy is doing their big, they had a big opening up at Brumley.
Right.
Got a lot of positive feedback about that. If you haven't checked out the Brumley Preserve, it's up 86 off of New Hope Church Road. You take a right and you'll find it back over there. 600 and something acres right in our backyard of trails and things to do. Every organization I know is having something. We did have a wonderful Northside Gateway
yes.
celebration on
yeah.
Saturday. It was a little warm.
That's fine.
I asked people if they were hot and if they were happy. So if you haven't
said yes to both questions,
yes, they
right?
did.
Yeah.
They were very enthusiastic, yep. yes. And the stories were amazing. The personal stories of people who were there in those times. You can see there's plaques with pictures of people and statements in the below. We don't name people on those. And just looking at the civil rights movement and the history of that in our community that started in Chapel Hill in 1960, and I got to hear from some of the members of the Group of Nine who did the first sit-in in Chapel Hill that were inspired by the sit-in in Greensboro, North
yep.
Carolina, that started this community really moving in the right direction towards civil rights. And these, the Group of Nine, were 17 and 18 years old. I mean, these were kids. And again, our kids also crossed over for the integration of our schools.
Yep.
We asked children to take these bold steps. So I still have a lot of faith in the children of the world making us a better place for everyone. So it was a fabulous celebration, a lot of excitement around having a gateway to commemorate the history, but also to inspire.
Yep.
You know that a group of children can make a difference. Any group of people, any individual, you can make a difference. You can change who we are as a community.
Getting back to calling your elected representatives.
There you go.
And
yeah, get back out there.
Making the point on that.
Yes.
Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Hemminger, thank you so much.
Thank you.